2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Did you see that massive volcanic explosion, eruption under the water? Dave, it's just wreaked havoc on Tonga.
Incredible. I mean, it was shocking, Debbie, to actually see this eruption underwater, but you can see it. I mean, you can see the concussion. It was like a bomb went off, which is essentially what happened.
And then it was followed by tsunamis. That the way it was described, it sounds like the tsunamis, the water, the massive amounts of water have just eaten away at the shoreline. Three people are dead. Hundreds of homes destroyed. And there's still a threat because they've got ash now all over the island, which can cause some serious health problems. And so now there's also the issue of lack of clean water, Dave.
Yes, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the volcano, but it was really close to Tonga, only, what, about 20 miles off the coast of Tonga. And this ash, this plume of ash and gas and steam shot 12 miles into the air. This is after going through the filter of seawater, right? I mean, how enormous would this have been had it not had the sea completely covering this volcano?
In a moment, we're going to talk to a woman who has been living in Utah for a couple of years, trying to get back to Tonga. That's where she's from, but has been shut out of Tonga and getting back because of the pandemic and protocols. I want to, before we get her live into this conversation, Dave, Jamie Farrell at the Department of Geology and Geophysics at the University of Utah says that the volcanic eruption produced an event that's equivalent to a 5.3 level earthquake. Let's hear what he had to say.
I think the most common way a volcanic eruption can trigger a tsunami is part of the volcano collapses underwater and displaces a large amount of water.
And you could start to see people preparing for it, preparing for those tsunamis and recording videos, and you see the waves start coming in.
It seemed like the volcano came out of nowhere, at least the eruption came out of nowhere, because the videos that I've seen of people who were just maybe taking video at the beach, all of a sudden it just seems like they were shocked. I'm not sure if they had a warning that this could blow at any moment. But even as far away as Alaska, I was listening to interviews and discussions with people who were living there who woke up in the middle, not knowing what in the world was going on. They heard it, or it sounded to them like there was some sort of an explosion. And that's thousands of miles away, Dave.
Yes. Incredible. The power. It's hard to comprehend the power of this volcano, that it was able to reach out the shockwaves, so to speak, the shockwaves which end up being in wave form in a tsunami for thousands of miles.
Did you know, Dave, we looked up some data today. I did not know this. A fourth of Tongans who live in the United States live in Utah.
That doesn't surprise me.
2011 report from the Salt Lake Tribune. And then we've flip over to the Utah Department of Health. nearly 38,000 Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders reside in Utah. 68% of them are from Tonga.
There's a few things going on there, Debbie, and part of the reason why the Pacific Islander population in Utah is in the Pacific Islands.
Okay.
So the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has done a lot of missionary work in the Pacific Islands, and a lot of baptized or converted members end up coming to Utah. So that's one part of it. Another part that is, you know, maybe a little smaller, but there's an extremely high number of football players, recruiting that is going on in the islands to play football at the University of Utah, Weber and BYU, Coach Kalani Sitake, he's from Tonga, and there's been a massive recruiting effort for football and sports reasons. So again, that brings players here, that brings families here. So it doesn't surprise me that a quarter of Tongans living in the United States are right here in Utah.
Let's bring on our guest, Verna Tukafua. I don't think I said your name right, even after all of that and practicing it, Verna. Why don't you say your last name for me?
Hi, my name is Verna Tukafua.
Thank you so much, Verna, for calling. I know you've been, I want to say, stuck in Utah for 2 years because Tonga closed its borders in 2020 because of the pandemic, has not reopened. Have you been able to contact your family in Tonga?
Yes, not direct communication. We have been getting some information from them through people, through diplomats that have satellite phones. So we were able to reach out to them and they would call our families. And then it's kind of like a relay of message, pass on the message and then they will try and find them and then pass the message back to me that they're okay. And that's how the communication has been in the last couple of days.
So Verna, give us an idea of what is happening in Tonga right now.
So right now, you know, like I mentioned before, communication is very, very limited. When the volcanic eruption happened, it was just a complete blackout. We didn't know what was going on. All we knew was, the videos that were coming before the communication was cut off. But what we have, heard so far is that, there's extensive damage to some of our outer islands. The main island, the coastal line, was completely affected. It was affected by the tsunami, and the western coast of the main island, western side of the island also has a lot of houses are destroyed and severely damaged. Like what you mentioned earlier, they've confirmed three deaths. One was a UK national, and then a 65-year-old woman and a 49-year-old male.
Verna, but your family, from what you know, is okay and safe?
Yes. So far as from what I have received, our families is safe.
It's been so long for you having been in Utah. Can you tell us a little bit about that story of what it's been like for you? Were you visiting Utah and then you couldn't get back because of COVID?
Yes. My husband and I, we have three kids. Our oldest daughter was attending the Brigham Young University in Hawaii, and she was planning to go on a mission. And so we thought we would come up for her spring break, which was in March, kind of like our last family vacation before she goes off and then everybody else starts to go off. So we came up to Hawaii on a Tuesday. We arrived on a Tuesday and the borders with no announcement or anything just closed on us on a Friday. So we weren't able to return back home.
Verna, is there anything that Utahns can be doing right now to help families in Tonga? I guess I just don't know what to do, and I want to help if I can.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that have reached out to me to try and see if, you know, what is it that we could do. The best thing that we have been advising, and this is just based on the feedback that we have been receiving from the ground, is what is needed most over there is really clean water to drink, and also masks, because the country is just completely covered in ashes. But I know that New Zealand and Australia are actually, because they're much closer, are already acting on that. So we're just waiting for a more detailed assessment to understand what are the other needs that we would be able to help. But I know the Polynesian community, not just the Tongan community, but Polynesian community and just everyone here in Utah are just pulling together, you know, just various things like clothes, canned food, whatever they could, and just starting to pack things. Once they give us the green light, then we'll start sending containers to Tonga.
Verda Tukuafu, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck. I know these last couple of years must have been just so incredibly difficult, and for another tragedy to hit that island is just incredible.
I want Verna to keep us posted on how we can help, what we can do here locally to help those folks who are in Tonga. She said there's need clean water because the water supplies contaminated after that horrible volcanic eruption. It seemed to almost come out of the blue, destroyed the shoreline, has destroyed many homes, has killed three people. We'll continue to follow those developments and find out where we can donate. Once we know, we'll let you know.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.